You are listening to Venture Church Podcast. For more information, visit www.jointheventure.com.
All right, so we are in week three of this series, The Chair Across the Room. And it's this idea about communicating with God. The thing that we've tried to establish is this, is that prayer is about communicating with God, and communication builds trust in a relationship, and that leads to the stronger love. So like in any relationship, if you want to grow closer to somebody, you got to talk to them. You got to be in conversation with them, and as that grows, you learn more and more trust and more respect, and the love grows, and because the love and the respect grows, more and more communication can happen, and the relationship builds and it grows, and that is the goal of prayer. And so we talk about this chair. And so there's a picture of this chair on the screen. There's this chair here. And if you've missed a couple of weeks or even just the very first week, you might have missed the idea of this chair. This chair represents how we can approach prayer. It really does. This chair represents a type of conversation that you can have. Imagine if you were going to hang out with somebody and you were going to go to a restaurant or coffee house or a picnic or at their home, and you're going to sit down in a chair, and then they would sit down in a chair across the room from you or across the table or next to you. And then the conversation would begin. The cool thing about this chair is it represents any level of ability to pray. You might have grown up in a really strong spiritual background where prayer was a major part of what you did every day with your family. And when we talk about pulling up a chair, you're like, I don't really need to pull up a chair. Like, I got this ongoing conversation with God. I'm a saint. I fly in angels' wings. I live in the clouds. It's really awesome. And, like, maybe that's how you roll, and that's really cool. I'm not joking you. I'm so excited that you've been able to develop that type of relationship with God. Others of you, though, you might come to church on Sunday, or you might just talk to somebody about God, and the word prayer comes up, and you're kind of like, oh, yeah, there's that word again. I don't get it. How do you talk to someone that you can't see or hear? What is that? How does that work? And so this chair has represented that, and we've talked about it, so I encourage you, if you've missed the messages, go check out our podcast. You can go to jointheventure.com and click on messages, and they should all be up there. But we talked about this idea that the chair can begin a conversation. Some of you have begun doing that. You've literally, like several of you have told me, I literally did that in my house. I set up an empty chair, and I want to try to start talking to God, and I said, if this is the very first time you tried it, you might want to do like you do with anybody when you talk for the first time. Hey, my name's Chris, and you are, well, you're the chair, but I know you're listening, God. And you begin talking, this is how my day went. This was the good, this was the bad. These are some questions I have. And you begin to open up your heart and your mind to talking to God. And it grows and it progresses. And so do check out those previous talks on prayer. Some of you haven't used the prayer chair method. Some of you have told me about other things you've done. I've heard about people. This is a cool method I just recently heard about. Someone created an email address for their prayer. It was like your email address, whatever it is that you normally use, and you add the word prayer to the end, you just create it at gmail.com, whatever, and then you just type out your prayers to God, you send them away, and they go, it gives you something physical, something tangible you can hold on to. Kind of cool idea, I've never done it, thought it might be neat. Other people have started journaling and writing down their prayers. Sometimes you talk out loud, sometimes you can talk quietly, whisper to yourself, sometimes you can silently think. You can pray with your eyes open or your eyes closed, preferably not while driving. You can pray in any setting, any place, any manner, any degree of seriousness or joking, God wants to hear from you. God really wants to hear from you. But when I say that, when those words come out of my mouth this morning, God wants to hear from you, I immediately am reminded about conversations I've had with so many people about this very question. Really? Does God really, really want to hear from me? I mean, seriously, there are 7 billion people on the planet, and a lot of them are more important than me. Does God really want to hear from me? Some people are world leaders. Some people are world changers. Does God really want to hear from me? And maybe you've tried this prayer thing out, but what you're continued to be left with is this question. Does God hear me? I want to address that this morning, and I want to basically come down to this one basic phrase that I'm going to use several times. You can write it down. You can try to memorize it. It's something that's huge. It's been huge in my life, and here's the phrase. God loves to hear from you, and he answers your prayer. It's a simple idea in writing it down and memorizing it in concept, but to internalize that and make it part of your life, that's huge. Listen to that again. God loves to hear from you, and he answers your prayer. God loves to hear from us, and he answers our prayer. He's not too busy. He's not preoccupied. He wants to hear from you. He wants to know what's on your heart. So what we want to do is take a look at the Bible and see what it has to say about that. Here at Venture Church, we believe that the Bible is the source for the answers to life's most important questions. If you don't have a Bible with you this morning, we got them that we give away for free. There's little green ones that are underneath some of the seats. Please feel free to take one of those Bibles. And if you don't have one with you, we'll have the scriptures that we're reading up on the screen behind me. But we're going to be looking in the Bible, in the New Testament of the Bible, which is the section that talks about Jesus and his teachings and the early church and how that kind of went down. If you've ever wondered what Jesus taught, like you say, okay, I want to call myself a Christian, but what am I really getting into? What did Jesus teach? If you really want to understand what Jesus taught, a great place to find that is the book of Matthew. There are long sections in the book of Matthew where Jesus is literally just teaching like I'm doing right now. He just says phrase after phrase after phrase, and his followers wrote them down. And so Matthew's a great place to do that. And we're going to be in Matthew chapter 7, where he addresses a lot of different issues. But in Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 7, he talks about this idea of, does God want to hear from me? Let's read this. It says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Now, I want to talk about how excited God is to hear your prayer. I want to talk about that. We're going to get to that. But first, I want to unpack this little passage because it's kind of an interesting happening here. Listen, Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be opened. Imagine if you had that type of influence at Walmart. You know what I'm talking about? Like, dude comes up, hi, my name is George, and I'll be your Walmart associate today. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. You're like, for real? In that case, I want a gallon of gummy bears, okay? Start there. Give me a recliner and Lord of the Rings trilogy on Blu-ray. The biggest TV you got, okay? And just, you know, is it just the sky's the limit? Is that what God's saying? Is Jesus saying, listen, just ask for anything. I'll give you anything you want. It is, but it's not. It sounds like Jesus has offered us to give us whatever we want, but I think there's a bigger principle, and it's going to go on in the next section of the passage, but I think what he's saying is, I like giving you good things. He's not saying I'll give you every single thing because some things we don't need, but what he's saying is, it's okay to ask. It's okay to ask, and sometimes we just wonder, like, is it okay if I ask God about this job situation? Is it okay that I talk to God about my dating situation? Is it okay that I talk to my God about parenting? God's like, yeah. Talk to me about it. I want to hear. I want to know what's going on. But let's clarify what he's meaning here. Is he asking, you know, he's not giving everybody a gallon of gummy bears, obviously. He goes on in verse 9. He says, which of you, if your son asked you for bread, would give him a stone instead? Or if he asked you for a fish, would give him a snake? This is a rhetorical question. Of course you wouldn't do that. You give them what they need. If then, though you are evil, which he just kind of hits it hard there, boom. Since you're evil, people, but God knows us. If then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? So often, Jesus and God in the Bible, they use this imagery of God as a heavenly Father and us as children, and that relationship and how that works, especially when it comes to prayer. And so he gives this illustration. How many of you, if your child asked you for bread, would give them a rock instead? Granted, April Fool's is around the corner, and I've got some good ideas from this. Thanks, Jesus. That might make me not a good dad. I don't know. But the point is well taken, right? Like, if you're a parent, if you're a good parent, and your kid has a legitimate need, you want to do what you can to meet that need. And that's what Jesus is saying. Ask God for what you need. And he knows what you need. And if those things line up, he will gladly take care of you. God wants us to ask. And when things are good for us, he wants to. In fact, he promises to give us those things that he knows are best for us. Now, I could spend a lot of time talking about how I know this is true. I really could spend the rest of the day telling stories, and I'm not even exaggerating, about times I've heard where people have prayed, and it was good things that God could bless them with, and it happened. It could. I'm not going to, but I could talk about that for a long time. Like, I could talk some about this friend of mine when I was in high school, and she had gotten this scholarship to go play softball somewhere in college, and it was summertime, and she was playing a pickup game of softball, and she slid, like, into second base or something, and she just shattered, like, all the bones in one of her ankles. Just, psh. They took her to the emergency room. She got x-rays. The doctors look at the x-rays and go, I'm sorry, but it looks like your softball career is probably over. If not forever, for a long time. Scholarship's gone, education plans are gone, school starts in a month or two, what do I do? And so she comes to a group of Christians, and I happened to be there. Now, I've got to admit, I was younger. I was just getting out of high school myself, and I didn't have the faith that some of the people in that room had. They literally sat around this girl and put their hands on her ankle and began to pray that God would heal her ankle. Now, you may have heard stories like this before. You might have had, that's mumbo jumbo, that's crazy mess. It's like there's people on TV hitting people in the forehead. They're falling out. It's all fake. It was all scam. I was there. I saw the whole thing. I was at the softball game, okay? I saw the girl come home and talk and in tears talk about the x-rays she had seen of her own foot, okay? The prayer happens. And then she goes back. She had like a soft cast the first night. They had to go back and, I guess, schedule a hard cast to be put on or something. She goes back in the next day, and they take some more x-rays. I'm not lying to you. This is my experience. This is my story. You can't tell me I'm a liar. I was there. Her ankle was healed. Done. The doctors are like, maybe we got the x-rays mixed up with somebody else's. Let's, done. She went on. She played softball. Now, I could tell you stories like that, but I'm going to give you truth. It's not going to do you any good because you weren't there. You didn't see it. And so there's always going to be a nagging thing in the back of your head like, I don't know if that happened or not. I could go on and tell stories like that. Talk about my friend from Greenville. She was diagnosed with a rare form of like, it's like a nerve cancer that attacked her nervous system. And it was announced in church that this cancer had happened and that obviously and honestly there was really no cure for it. They didn't know what was going to happen. It was going to be degenerative and eventually she was going to die and it was going to happen pretty quickly. That's pretty much the message we got. The church begins to pray over this lady, and we begin to pray for healing and for it to go away. And they're meeting all the specialists, and specialist after specialist after specialist tells this lady, there's no hope, there's nothing you can do. The best thing you can do is get your stuff in order and be happy and go on a cruise with your husband. Just live it out the best of way you can. But she was like, that's not good enough. I'm going to continue to pray that God can heal this. It's been, I don't know, some of you guys know her. It's been like maybe 4 years. She's not dead yet. In fact, it's come back recently that the cancer is gone. Completely gone. Blown the doctor's minds. I could tell you that, but it's not going to do you any good because you didn't see it. And so if you trust me and you believe me, you'd say, well, that's pretty cool that you saw that, but I didn't see that. And I hope it builds your faith. I really do. It's blown my faith out of the water. It's awesome. I could tell you stories about friends of mine, or I could talk about my own life, how God has worked in finances when I say, Lord, this is a financial need that we really have got to have, and it's this amount. And then to see that amount show up to the penny right on time. Or maybe just a little bit late, because I think God's got a little sense of humor. He's like, you're gonna pay a late fee. I'm going to include that. I'm not even joking. A friend of mine the other day, and she's in the room right now. She was talking, and I might have the number wrong, but I think she needed like $37 for something. And then she had told one friend that. And then she got a text from another person and was like, hey, this is blah, blah, blah. Here's this $37 that you needed. And she was like, what? To the penny. And I can tell you that story, but I'm going to be honest. It might not do you a whole lot of good because you weren't there and you didn't see it. And I hope it builds your faith because it built mine. And I could talk about that, but here's another thing I want to talk about. Because a lot of times that doesn't happen. A lot of times we pray for stuff and it doesn't happen. And we've got questions, right? God, I'm trying. I'm really trying here and I'm praying and it seems like you are not answering my prayer. Can anybody else relate with that? I've battled with that in my own life, trying to figure out what does the Bible say about, how does that, what is the answer to that question? One of the best treatments of it is in this book. I mentioned it a few weeks ago. It's called Prayer. I've forgot the full, Finding the Heart's True Home by a guy named Richard Foster, and he just addresses prayer in this kind of epic work on prayer. And he deals with this for a chapter. And I want to take some of the things that I learned from that chapter and some things that I've seen in my own life and break those down for you. I think there might be three suggestions of why some prayers seem to go unanswered. And so maybe this will be helpful to you as you go through that in your life. Let's look at those. Here are some suggestions as to why some prayers seem to go unanswered. The first one is this. Maybe some of our prayers are not in our best interest. Maybe they're not in our best interest. So many people pray for relationships that they don't need to be in. God, please help my boyfriend to love me back. It's like, you do not need to be in that relationship. And you know who knows that? God. Which one of you, when your son asks for bread, will give him a stone instead? Sometimes our prayers are not in our own best interest. I know when I was growing up, I really wanted to be a professional musician, and I pursued that. And then I thought, you know, I'll do kind of the church work kind of thing. But then even as a young man in my early 20s, I was in a band, and I remember seriously being like, God, if this is what you want for me, like, I want to be a professional musician. So I prayed like our band would get discovered, and we would do all this stuff. And I really wanted, and it, I don't know, it never happened. And God may have just said, that's just not in your best interest. I've got other plans for you. That's one suggestion. Maybe it doesn't answer all your questions, but it's one. Here's another one. Maybe some of our prayers are answered, but we completely miss it. I see this kind of thing happen more often. Here's an example. It's kind of generic, but it might be for you. Maybe you've been in a bad situation, and you've got this hurting heart. You are hurt deeply. So you've gone to God, and you've asked him to take that hurt away. I think I've seen this actually happen here at Venture, and I can't wait to see it continue to play out. But let's say that's you. You prayed that to God. Maybe you've been praying for a long time. Maybe you've only tried it once. I don't know. And you're like, God, please take away the hurt. I think I'll try church. And so you walk into church, and you're in church, and you're like, God, take away the hurt. Take away the hurt. And you get home, and the hurt's still there. It is. It's still there. You get a phone call from this person at church. They're like, hey, this is Carl. I don't think we have a Carl. If you are, thanks for calling that person. It was really nice of you. This is Carl. Hey, listen, I met you at church. Did you want to go grab some lunch this week? Nah, I can't. You hang up the phone. I'm so hurt. Ugh. And then you get an email from somebody. Maybe it's when we send one when people come for the first time. Hey, this is Chris, and I'm so glad you came. And let you know, we got small groups that you can get involved in one. And you're like, I don't have time for small groups. I got to come and steam and stew and be mad at myself. And did you see what happened there? You really got one to open. You wanted God to open a door for you, but you didn't even see it. Because maybe it's that God has given you exactly what you need, but it wasn't what you were expecting or what you were looking for. Maybe the hurt is still there. And God's like, you know what? The best way to heal hurt is love. And what I'm trying to do is pour love into your life, but you're shutting the door in the face of everyone who tries to give you love. And I don't know what your particular hurt is or your particular prayer is, but my challenge for you, if you feel like that prayer is not getting answered, is to take a step back and look at it from somebody else's perspective and go, is it possible that God did answer my prayer, but I totally missed it? That's the second option. Maybe you totally missed it. Here's a third option. This is not an exhaustive list of reasons, but there are three that are pretty good. The third one is this. The truth is that our sin is a hindrance to answered prayer. We got to talk about this. Now, I'm not saying that if you prayed for something and it didn't happen, that you don't love God enough or you didn't pray hard enough or you're not good enough. That's not, grace is different than that. God says, I recognize you're not good enough. That's the whole point. You're not good enough, but I'm still going to listen to you. But have you ever had like a basketball with a hole in it or a bike tire that's been cut a little bit, right? And you go to pump air into that basketball, what's going to happen? It's going to keep leaking out the same hole. And you can keep pumping air into that basketball all you want to, and it's going to keep leaking out the same hole. Our sin is a hindrance for our prayers being answered because our sin, by definition, separates us from God. And it may be that you are praying for this addiction to leave you. You really want this addiction to leave you, but you don't really. You don't really. You kind of like it. You're holding on to it. And it's like pumping air into a basketball with holes in it. And God's like, look, I could answer that prayer for you all the time. I could give you opportunities. I could provide counsel. I could take all the alcohol out of the world, get rid of all the drugs. But you don't want that. You've chosen something different. Perhaps our sin is a hindrance to God answering our prayer. And in the other instance, I said, it seems like they're not even being answered. I would say that sometimes in these situations, they're just not. God's like, I would love to help you, but you really don't want me to help you right now. That's not just me talking, being bitter. I've been a part of that. I've been guilty of that. And I want to take a look at what the Bible says about it. In the book of James, in chapter 4, verse 3, he talks about this issue. He says, when you ask, maybe you don't receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Because that's a reality, because our sin can be a hindrance to our answer to prayer. He says later on in the same book in James 5, in the second half of verse 16, he says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Not a perfect person. You don't have to be perfect for God to listen to you, but it's like, are you right with God? Are you working on your relationship with God? Because he really, really loves to hear from you, and he answers prayer. Those are three ideas, three recommendations on way it may seem like prayer isn't answered. The big deal, the big answer is this, that God sees the big picture and we don't. But when you look throughout Scripture, what he does is he says, if you ask, I'm going to give it to you. Sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is maybe. And a lot of times, we really don't know what God is up to. We have no idea what God is up to, which is why we have to recognize this last point about seemingly unanswered prayers, and that's this, that we need to be honest enough to admit how little we understand about the workings and the plans of God. We have to be honest enough to admit how little we know about the workings and the plans of God. Understanding unanswered prayer sometimes means that when we admit that we have no idea why God doesn't seem to answer certain prayer, even though we can't understand it or begin to comprehend it, we have to submit to the purpose of God. And that's hard to swallow. And maybe this is your first time in church ever, or maybe for a long time, and you're like, that's exactly why I don't want to do church. People give me empty answers like that all the time. It's not an empty answer. If there is a God, which I submit to you, there is, and he loves you, which I submit to you, he does, then he's got purposes beyond your own. And knowledge and understanding beyond your own that you can't comprehend. And I want to check out what the prophet Isaiah says in the Old Testament when he's talking to God's people about this very thing. He says in chapter 55, he says, for my thoughts, he's talking from God to us. This is him giving God's thoughts to us. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Sometimes you just don't know. But that shouldn't take us away from the fact that God wants to hear from us and that he does answer prayer. Maybe you hear what I'm saying. God loves you. He wants to hear from you. Maybe you hear that and you want to believe what I'm saying, but you're still not quite convinced. Because it comes back to that basic, it's a self-esteem thing. It's a thing where we look at God and we go, there's 7 billion people in the world, and maybe I've accepted the fact that there is a God and that he does have involvement with people's life, but I just don't matter. I'm not important enough for God to listen to. He doesn't have time for me. I want to prove to you guys that he does. I want to show you what he's done to prove that. Maybe you hear what I'm saying about the chair across the room, but you don't want to pull one up because I'm just not sure that God will listen to what I have to say. And it brings me to probably the most important part that I want to make about prayer today, and that's this, that prayer is not about your ability. Prayer is not about your strength. It's not about your intelligence. It's not about your ability to communicate. It's not even about your own purity. Prayer is not about your power. Prayer is all about Jesus's power. Let me explain to you what I mean. You might have noticed that sometimes when people pray, in fact, most of the time when people pray that are Christians, they will end their prayer with this phrase. So they'll start, dear God, and thank you for the weather, and blah, blah, blah. And then they end it with, in Jesus' name, amen. Why do we do that? Is it because we just want to try to set ourselves apart from other religious groups to pray? Do we think that, like, what is that? Is it sometimes we just do it because it's kind of a rote thing? It's like, I don't know, it's what I do. So I just do it because that's what I do. I'm going to tell you why we do that. Jesus tells us to do that. He said, whatever you pray in my name will happen. And then when you talk about things that happen, things are always talking about things that happen through Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus, because of Christ Jesus. Why? Because prayer is all about Jesus's power. There is power in the name of Jesus Christ. There is immense power. There is power in the name of Jesus because Jesus has the authority to forgive sin. Why? Remember, Jesus is God in the flesh. Sin is when we offend someone. And when we've offended God, we've gone against something that he desired, we've offended him. Who has authority to forgive if you've offended God? Only God. Jesus has authority to forgive sin. That's one reason why he can hear our prayers, because he's the guy with the authority to do it. You ever going to try to get something done? If anybody here works for the government, I am totally complaining to you right now, okay? You ever call and try to get an answer to a question, and it seems that the person who knows the answer to that question does not have a phone in their office? That ever happened to you? Oh, you'll need to speak to Tammy. Yeah? Well, she only works on the third Tuesday in March in years that are leap years. Well, could she leave a post-it note for me or something? Like, does she have an email address? I just have a simple question. Because that person has the authority to answer that question. And if that's your job, please answer your phone. Because I'm trying to figure out health insurance. Okay? But Jesus has the authority to forgive sin. He has the power. He has authority. That's why we pray in Jesus' name, and that's why prayer works. Jesus also has the power and the authority over all things. He says that all things have been set below me like a footstool. God has given me the power and authority to do all things. And that means he has the authority and the power over any physical or spiritual thing that's bothering you in your life. He has the power and authority to speak into any relationship that you have. He has the power and authority to take care of your problems. What do we pray in Jesus' name? Because it works. Because there's power in the name of Jesus. Don't pray in somebody else's name. Don't pray in your own name. Someone might have told you to speak to God through a saint or a priest or perhaps through a preacher or somebody. That's not what Jesus says. He says, when you pray, pray our Father in heaven and say your prayer. Talk directly to God. And then he says, ask it in my name. Ask it in my name because there is power in the name of Jesus. I want to illustrate how this works, okay? Because you guys know Aaron. He was just up on stage playing the acoustic guitar, and he just told his story. And so you guys know Aaron. You might also know that me and Aaron are good friends. We hang out all the time, and I appreciate and I respect and I trust Aaron, okay? So let's start the story with that, all right? You know that part about my friendship with Aaron. Now, let's say I'm at my house one night with my family, and I hear a knock on the door. And I look through my little peephole, and there's a person I don't know. Complete and utter stranger. But I'm the guy that opens the door for strangers. So I open the door, and I'm like, hey, man, how can I help you? He's like, hey, yeah, I was wondering if you could help me out. Could I come into your house just real quick and take a shower and eat some food and spend the night? Now, I'm a nice guy, but there are boundaries. There are limits and protocol to this type of thing. First of all, hello, and what was your name? And what's your story? I need to find out more about you, and I might very well, because I have kids and my wife lives in the house with me, I might very well say, can I just drive you to a shelter somewhere to help you out or take you somewhere? Or yeah, but you can't spend the night tonight because of this. I don't know. There's going to be boundaries. I don't know this guy. But rewind the story, start over. I look through the peephole. I see this guy. Same guy. Don't recognize the guy. Open the door. Hey, can I help you? And he goes, hey, man, dude, I'm sorry for busting in on you like this, but I'm a friend of Aaron's. And he told me that if I stopped by, that you'd probably be cool if I just jumped in. Sorry, I'm out of town. I need to jump in, take a shower, grab a bite to eat, and actually stay at your house tonight. I'm sorry if I'm imposing, but Aaron said that maybe you'd be okay with that. Now, I might later call Aaron and be like, dude, give me a heads up. But because he knows Aaron, and I can verify that, we might tell him, oh, yeah, what kind of car does he drive? Something like that. But, you know, once I know that he knows Aaron, I'm going to let the guy into my house because any friend of Aaron is a friend of mine. Right? You understand that. Why do we pray in Jesus' name? Because he's got the authority to let us in the door. He's the guy that can come in and say, oh, you needed this? Sweet. You lined that up with Jesus. He's the guy with the authority. He's the guy that I trust and respect. He's the guy that if you've got his mark on your life, yeah, we can move forward with that. Here's what I know. That God loves to hear from us. And he does answer our prayer. And God knows that prayer can be pretty hard because we don't feel like he's listening to us. He understands that. He understands about us that we want to have some control in our life. He understands that. And we want to know what we're dealing with. He understands that. And that's why he said, you know what? It's pretty intimidating to try to communicate with the all-powerful being, creator of the world and universe. I understand that. God understands that. So he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make myself into a human. And I'm going to come down to earth so that you can see that I know what you're going through. And the Bible tells us how Jesus lived a life that though he was fully God, he was fully man. He dealt with temptation. He dealt with struggle. He dealt with loss. He dealt with poverty. He dealt with hunger. He dealt with all the things that we go through. So that no longer when we pray are we going, oh, great and mighty, powerful God, there's 7 billion people in the world, and maybe you're working on, you know, Jupiter or Saturn right now, but when you get back to planet Earth, if you could just, I'm just going to leave you a memo on your desk. He goes, no, I love to hear from you, and I answer your prayer, and to show you that, I became a man. I want to put the rubber to the road, put my money where my mouth is, and get down there on your level so you'll know I'm listening. I'm listening. I'm bad about this. As a dad, my mind goes a million miles a minute. I joke about being, you know, adult ADHD or whatever. I don't even know what all that stuff is, but I got these little kids and they're like this tall. And sometimes they're like, dad, dad, dad. And they're telling me about their day and they're telling me about stuff and they just want me to hear them and I'm not hearing them. And I'm like, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, yeah, really cool, awesome, nice. And dad, parents, if you play this trick, dad, look. And you're like, cool, that's awesome. That's all. My hair's on fire. Yeah? Really? Yeah, and the couch just caught on fire too. Cool, tell your mom. That's awesome. Because we look at the ceiling in our house and screw stuff in a lot. I don't know. That's what I was just doing. But when I take the time to squat down and get on the level with my daughter who's 4 years old. Oh man, it means a lot, doesn't it? Because she knows dad is not paying attention to anything else. God says, I'm your heavenly father. And I got down on your level that we could see eye to eye. I love to hear from you. And I answer your prayer. There's so much more we could say about prayer. It took 3 weeks to talk about it. I wish we could just talk about it all the time. But there's so much breadth to the truth that's in the Bible. So we're going to get into some new things next week. But I don't want you to forget this chair. When you get home today, pull up a chair across the room. Or maybe the empty seat on your drive home. Or maybe send an email. Think quietly to yourself. Or get a friend that you can get together and pray with once a week. Make a habit. Because God's come down to our level. And he's waiting to hear what we have to say. Ask. Seek. Knock. Because I want to give good things to my kids. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for this day, and thank you for listening. I know even though I just said all that, there's going to be times when I'm just feel like my prayers are bouncing off the ceiling and you're not hearing me, and I know you are. I mean, have the faith to know that that's true. God, this morning as we think some more about prayer, I'm just asking that you kind of come and move among us and show us some answered prayer, because the few stories I told about answered prayer that I've seen, like that's really built up my faith. And so help everyone in this room to have an opportunity to see that firsthand. I pray that you help to remove the sin from our life that is a hindrance to answered prayer. Help us to be genuine. Help us to give our lives to you and submit. We love you so much, God, and thank you for a chance to sit down, have a conversation, and grow a relationship of love built on communication. Thank you for prayer. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.